50 years ago in Boston, someone threatened to set off a nuclear bomb. It was a hoax, but it led to the creation of a secretive government squad to handle nuclear emergencies. NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports on this rarely seen group and what they're up to today.
In an aircraft hangar at Joint Base Andrews, just outside of Washington, D.C., the government's first line of response to nuclear emergencies gathered to celebrate its 50th anniversary. There was cake and drinks and speeches, but right from the start, it was clear this was not an ordinary birthday party.
A quick admin announcement before we go further. I have to note this is an unclassified event, so please understand that there is a lot that our people are not going to be able to discuss.
This group is known as the Nuclear Emergency Support Team, or NEST, like a bird's nest. The team is mostly made up of people who work elsewhere in government, scientists, federal law enforcement personnel, regulators. They all take time out of their day jobs to prepare for a nuclear incident. Think of it as a volunteer fire department, except the volunteers have high-level security clearances and they respond to nuclear threats.
When it comes to a radiological or nuclear event, NEST's mission at the very core of it is providing that scientific advice about either what has happened or what could happen.
G. Tilden oversaw NEST for several years at the Department of Energy and has written a history of its activities. A lot of what it's done sounds like it belongs in a spy thriller. In 1978, NEST deployed in Canada's remote Northwest Territories to recover debris from a crashed Soviet reconnaissance satellite that was powered by uranium. A year later, NEST helicopters circled over the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant after one of the plant's reactors partially melted down. NEST experts and equipment also went to Fukushima, Japan, after a nuclear power plant there melted down and spewed a plume of radioactivity across the countryside.
It was to help the Japanese government understand what is being released from the damaged reactors and where is that plume going? Where is it depositing on the ground?
That kind of information is critical to determining how to respond to a nuclear incident, who needs to evacuate, for example. Teams also train on how to deal with nuclear dirty bombs and nuclear weapons that are lost or damaged. NEST has always kept a low profile, partially because almost everything it does related to nuclear weapons and nuclear terrorism is classified, but also because it doesn't want to alarm people. At the same time, Jay Tilden says they don't want to be seen as a shadowy government agency flying around in black helicopters.
We didn't even want them dark gray because they look like military. We wanted to be very distinct that we're a civil agency, and when those aircraft are flying, they're flying largely for a public health and safety mission.
The helicopters are two-toned blue and gray, and the government agents who fly them around, not men in black, it's folks like Jacqueline Brandon.
When I found out as a scientist I get to fly in a helicopter and do real national security missions, I was like, sign me up right away.
Brandon is a PhD physical chemist who sits in the back scanning for signs of radioactivity as the helicopter flies low to the ground.
To me, it's like a roller coaster ride. I love it.
She's airborne a lot. This year alone, NEST aircraft have flown above the Super Bowl, both Democratic and Republican national conventions. And then there's the events they haven't planned for.
They happen periodically. So.
And what happens for you if there's an on-call event? Like, what's your life like?
Exciting. We'll pack all of our gear up and be in the air in 4 hours, and then flying over whatever we're trying to fly over.
Brandon didn't want to get into too many specifics about what might call a NEST team out, but Wendon Smith, who's the current head of NEST, was willing to talk about it, kind of.
We don't provide the details, but I would say on a weekly basis, there's either an unknown event that triggers the deployment of an NEST team or a question from a local responder.
Smith is at the Energy Department. She says nuclear materials are more a part of daily life than most people realize. They're used in oil and gas drilling and in a lot of medical applications. Sometimes people are even injected with radioactive dye to aid with medical imaging. In fact, somebody with radioactive dye in their body might have caused a recent NEST response. After local police found a suspicious puddle in a fast food parking lot somewhere in America. I can neither confirm or deny, but
if someone doesn't use a public restroom and happens to alleviate their need in a parking lot, then that can cause a troubled signature if there is indeed a medical isotope involved.
Hypothetically, if you do get injected with a radioactive isotope as part of a medical scan, Smith asks you use the restroom. Of course, Nest prepares for far worse. They don't want to say what exactly, but they do want you to know that after 50 years, they're still going strong.
The fact that people understand that Nest exists and what its mission is and how successfully we perform it is important to help people sleep at night.
The government's volunteer nuclear fire department stands ready, just in case. Jeff Brumfiel, NPR News.